I forced myself to say, okay, what about this do I understand and what don't I? And when I was able to figure out what I didn't understand, I just studied the hell out of that for hours on end every day. You know, what is this Facebook SDK for closing the web view? How do I send a form off and like, you know, an Ajax type of thing, you know? So just learning little things at a time. I always tell people, you know, if you just say, okay, I'm going to teach myself PHP, you're probably not going to stay committed to it because you're just learning, you know, the fundamentals. But if you figure out exactly what you want to build, like a login web view or something like that, that will force you to learn what you want to know, which makes it more which makes it more fun.
Yeah.
And then by default, you start, you know, you'll hit roadblocks and then you'll go back to the fundamentals. At least that's how I learn, is I actually build what the f- I want to build and like break it down in little pieces.
Well, hello everyone again. This is Thomas Hipke, your host of Yakkerbot Talk. Today, I actually have Nikki and Sal on the line here with me, and it's going to be an awesome interview. We go over some WebView stuff as well as some things about teasing with blockchain technology with bots, but really, really exciting things. So let's just jump right into it.
So me? Okay. So pretty much from where I left off with what I told you, that was just me getting immersed in the group and talking to people. And eventually that's where I discovered what, you know, Sal was doing. And for me, you know, as somebody in business wanting to do something with bots, but not quite, you know, knowing what I was going to do yet, I figured I should at least partner with somebody who can, you know, cover like my weaknesses and benefit from my strengths. And I know that, you know, Sal is like a fucking wizard on like back end stuff and all the things that I really didn't want to touch. So we just started throwing ideas back and forth about what we've always wanted to build and just trying to see where like our goals aligned. And then long story short, we both kind of figured we wanted to do something like build something for marketers, like I was telling you, and to, you know, keep it pretty short before we get into the specifics of the project. We came with just like a solid MVP. And by circumstance, I was judging a demo day here in Harlem, and I sat next to a guy who runs a tech accelerator with eBay, and he was asking what I was doing in like marketing and like conversational UI, and I told him about me and Sal's idea, and he invited us to pitch, and we got accepted into their accelerator.
Wow.
A couple days after, yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, man. So this is like a culmination of like me and Sal's relationship over like 3 weeks to a month. We started as just like buddies just talking about what we want to do. And now we're like in an accelerator together building a demo with bots.
Wow, that's incredible, dude. So you just went to a meeting and then you met this guy?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was judging a community organization for kids who are in tech, and they were showcasing their apps, and I had another partner judge next to me, and of course, we were just, you know, shooting the shit, talking to each other, and he was like, yeah, what are you working on? And I told him, and that's when you never know who you're talking to. I'm talking to a guy who runs an accelerator with eBay.
Oh my gosh, there you go, right?
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Well, Sal, give me a rough rundown of who you are then, because we kind of got some stuff from Nikki, but what about you, sir?
Yeah, I'm really into bots now. I've been web developing since I was 8 years old. I got into servers when I was in high school, when I was like 14 or 15. And
whoa. Yeah,
working with blockchain technology. So, I've been doing this for a while now. And now I've really gotten into bots over the last like 5 or 6 years before it became more mainstream.
Mm.
So
before now, all the cool kids started to do it.
Yeah. Now, I was one of those guys who made those kick bots just for jokes and, you know, joke with friends and stuff. And, you know, so, and Skype bots just to mess with my friends.
what were the jokes like? I mean, do you have like one or two examples?
Yeah. Like my other laptop, I have all my hard drive. On that hard drive was all my code. Like, it was like simple stuff. It was nothing really complicated. And like the bots were, I'm so mad at myself that I didn't save it like on Dropbox or something, because it was on my last laptop.
Oh no.
Yeah, so all that's gone, but all my friends remember that, and we talk about it from time to time.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And so I wanted to get more serious about it because I really liked bots. And I was like, I feel like that the world is going to be ready for bots soon, so maybe I should just get more serious about it. And so then, and ironically enough, that's when Facebook, you know, announced that they're bringing bots to the Messenger platform. And Google was with, you know, they're giving, you know, their platform, the cloud, you can use it and tweak it around. And I've been playing with Dialogflow and TensorFlow and all the Google products. And I'm still playing around with it now and just get into deep learning to try to make the bots smarter and training the bots to be more efficient. And that's where I'm at right now.
That's awesome. And you mentioned something, and it's a term I've seen before, and it's blockchain. I assume that that's vastly different from like cryptocurrency blockchain technology. Is that right?
Well, blockchain is what powers the cryptocurrencies. So when
what role is that in bots then?
So much potential.
Yeah.
So much. Because I understand how blockchain works with cryptocurrency, but I'm not totally connecting the dots with bots.
The cool part about blockchain is it can work with anything, pretty much.
Well, can you give like a brief, like a 20 or 30 second summary of what blockchain technology is, just so everybody is following?
Yes, blockchain technology is like what powers like the system. It's like its own ecosystem. I guess that's how you would put it. So it basically powers the cryptocurrencies. You take it, now it's used, it's keeping it like decentralized.
Yeah, because banks, they all keep their own ledgers, and so blockchain technology basically publishes publicly that they're, you know, all of the different transactions, it's encrypted, but they keep it transparent, and then that those blocks are on a lot of different servers and a lot of different computers. Like everybody has access to it, so you can't, you know,
hack it.
Yeah, or you can't lose, you know, millions of dollars and not explain it. It's like, you know, it's a clear transactional history of everything that's happened. So the currency stays a lot more legitimate and truthful. Is that a fair summary? I mean,
yeah, that's very fair. But now we're bringing blockchain into bots.
So how do you bring blockchain to bots? Though
we're gonna
help me out, brother. Help me out.
We're gonna work with the like storage system. Like we're gonna, you know, use it as like a storage, a cloud platform. You can bring it, you know, so people could just go in, you know, and do their own thing. And so we're trying to really mix around stuff. We're just right now, you know, just playing around with it and see what we can do.
We're sorry to be vague about that. We don't want to give away the secret sauce. No. But just for, I guess, you know, to specifically answer what you're saying about what can you really do with blockchain and bots. I mean, like Sal was touching on, there's that security element. There's, you know, because you're not restricted to like one type of server or database, you can literally, you know, have, you know, terabytes and terabytes worth of, you know, information or content stored for about a fraction of the cost of what Amazon Web Services would charge you. And it just exists like out there, you know, it's not sitting on some central server. There's also different types of cryptocurrency tokens. I mean, most people are familiar with Bitcoin, but then there's different types like proof of stake or like attention economy. If people know what like Steemit is, that's a platform where you can get, it literally looks like Reddit, and you get paid to, you know, pretty much blog and like write articles. There's also another currency called Dash that one of my clients I work with, he's producing a film, and he's actually managed to crowdsource over $100,000 between Dash and Steemit for his project without investing anything. So, you know, when you really start to see what these different tokens have to offer, they're trying to get out there, they're trying to attach themselves to different platforms, and they really want to become mainstream. So there's a lot of like opportunity to get investments in a unique way through these people running different blockchains.
Wow. Okay. So I mean, I guess one thing I can see that would be really cool with the, you know, terabytes of information is when you have AI at play. And I can totally edit this out, but am I correct on that? Like the AI factor would be greatly enhanced then, because you'd have just so much more data to work from.
Exactly, yes. Yep. And it'll expand, you know, the knowledge of the bots, and we're not messing around with the thousands of servers now. It's kind of more simplified.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I mean, too, that like with that example where I gave you a Steemit, I mean, that's pretty much something where the author of an article, you know, keeps a certain percentage of what they make, but also the audience gets rewarded. So, I mean, the way you make money on Steemit is if you upvote somebody's article or comment on it, you create a certain inflation of currency for them, and then you also get to keep a certain percentage for that. For me, bringing that into like influencer networks, you know, marketers, coaches, consultants, people who have an existing audience already, that would be a huge game changer, being able to share, you know, some type of token that actually has real value with your audience and rewarding them for engaging with you. So we're just looking to see how we can bring in this next generation technology to give, you know, marketers some fresh tools to work with and put a fresh taste in like consumers' mouths.
Wow. I freaking love that. Oh man. Cause I know that Seth Louie over at Botlist, I mean, he kind of describes like 2016 is like the birth of bots. 2017, people are finding their legs, and 2018 is going to be the year that a lot more people with that are doing bots make money.
Right.
So, and I kind of love that synopsis of where he thinks it's going, like where it was and where he thinks it's going. So.
Well, there's also like a huge responsibility that we have as bot builders. And I wish I could just like, you know, spray articles about this like every day, and I don't have the time. But, you know, it's no joke when they say marketers, you know, ruin everything. and now, you know, people in like the Chatfuel community are like a new breed. They're like half marketers, half developers. And they still, have that obligation to build technology that works and does not annoy the hell out of people, you know? So it's kind of in our hands. Bots are new, you know, we are kind of the determining factor of, is this going to be something that, you know, takes shape and lasts like email, or is this going to be like another gimmick that dies after 2 years because we spammed everybody?
Oh, no kidding.
It
yeah.
really is in our hands, you know?
Yeah. And I was recently talking to Mackenzie Lieberman over in the marketing for Messenger bots, and she actually had a cool live the other day. And it was basically going over like muting the bot itself, like as the bot developer, you know, if it becomes too overwhelming for somebody, they can, rather than like blocking or unsubscribing, she actually prompts them to mute the bot to just kind of help the user experience. You know, it's like, hey, do you want to not hear anything from me for, you know, a week or 2-3 weeks or ever, whatever. And I thought that was pretty proactive, which is cool because, I mean, like you said, you know, it's like a mix between developers and marketers, and you know, she's both. So, you know, to see people kind of thinking of solutions like that and then even offering it up to ManyChat or Chatfuel as like a standardized option or feature, which she mentioned as well. I think that that's kind of a cool way. At this point, it's still kind of self-policing, right, which is nice. You know, Facebook's not going to come down and just, you know, crack a hammer on it, hopefully. So, well, yeah, awesome.
I think that's like a genius idea. And for me too, though, what I hope to accomplish is, you know, you pretty much want to build this user, like I go back to experiential marketing, you want it so that the user like doesn't even think about muting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want it to a point where you don't even need to subscribe people because you want your user jumping on this thing every day like they would get on PlayStation. You know what I mean?
Totally.
To me, that's where you win in the bot world, when you can turn your bot into like one of those habit building platforms like Facebook or Amazon or something that somebody actually is dying to interact with every day. So when you can get to that point, you don't even need a mute button. And I think that's the dream for bot builders.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, the last thing you want to do is piss. I mean, I guess we've already swore on this, but I guess the last thing you want to do is start pissing off your audience. Cause then your bot goes away real, real, real fast. So.
Right.
Oh, awesome. So what bot experience do you guys have? I know that, Sal, you mentioned that you've been developing stuff for a long, long time, but have you guys worked with clients or created any cool bots that you'd like to, like that you found, I don't know, achieve some sort of a feature that wasn't there before? Or?
What do you got, Sal?
Well, right now, basically, our project is it. Nikki really had a great design, you know, for the web views. How can we change web views? How we can make the user experience better? And I feel like this is the best project we've ever done. I can't speak for Nikki, but definitely for me.
Yeah, deep dive into that, if you would, for a minute, because I know that that's been you guys are going to be doing a webinar, or at least you are, Nikki. Let me back up real fast, because I saw that picture of you kind of floating over some train tracks, and I want to know how you did that.
Okay, so
because you look so like nonchalant, like, well, I guess it's happening again.
All right. Okay, yeah. So to go into my expertise, because like I said, I am new to the bot world. I am not new to, like I said, experiential marketing. And when I had my agency here in New York and we were doing live events, we also did like media for the brands we were producing for. I did a lot of work in like the fashion industry. And what you'll find in New York is when you do media, it's always a mix between some type of fashion element, some really cool models, and like a really dope photographer. So for me, you know, when you see traditional ads or things like that, somebody hires a professional photography team and they're great with like the lighting and shit like that. And me, I didn't care about that. I was like, you know what? We're a small agency. We're like three dudes in New York trying to make it. I was like, if we're going to get people to pay attention to us, we've got to create things that they've never seen before. So one of my buddies, who's actually a great photographer, does levitation photography. And that just involves, you know, not even using Photoshop, because we achieved this during the photo. That, and you know, sometimes it involves doing like 100 jumps and him capturing me in midair in like a split second. Sometimes it involves like dangling over something, and then removing some of that in Photoshop. But like, we try to achieve most of it in pre-production, and it's a lot of work and rehearsal. But yeah, that's what we kind of specialized in my agency, was doing that really fun media.
That, and it's awesome. Cause I mean, you look so, like I said, nonchalant about it.
That's New York for you, man. When somebody wants to create like a cool picture, they're going to hit up one of their favorite street photographers and say, hey, like, let's go out into the, like, I've got friends who break into the subway systems at night, like, and go on the tracks and do stuff like that.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
There's no chill here in New York as far as like photography and like pushing the limits.
That's funny, dude.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump back to, the web view, because, I've seen this a couple of different times, and I've heard pros and cons about it. I think it has a lot of potential, but tell me what you guys are kind of doing with it right now, and you know what your guys' goals are there with the web view, and I guess and break it down to like what is web view within a bot, and then I'm just looking at this picture, dude. It's freaking funny. I need to somehow tag it or something. Throw it into the phone. It's to the show notes, because that you look so like, yeah, you know what's up, you know.
I'm so mad that Mike found that picture. I was like, I hate getting put on the spot for that picture, but because for me, I'm a perfectionist. I wish I could have done it better. I look like I'm straining a little bit there. I wish I had a more effortless look on my face.
No, dude, it looks freaking effortless. Like it's like this is another normal day, and this just happened again. So you know, I'm gonna take a picture of it, and it's gonna be.
But yeah,
cool.
Man, you do what you want with the photo. But yeah, for the web view thing, We talked to a lot of people in the community and like what they were looking for with web views. And again, like I don't know why my mind just works so weird, but I hate doing things the normal way. And when I hear how a lot of people want to use web views, it's for the typical things that you expect, you know, like date pickers and like logins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And for me, and the project that I'm, you know, me and Sal are working on for this beta is really about not just like establishing like, I guess, an omnipresence, but kind of fusing an app experience together with a bot. Some people will say that like, you don't want this complicated web view feature that, you know, mimics an app, because then that takes away from the conversational experience, which I partially agree with. But there's so many possibilities for people who have, like, you know, online courses or membership sites where you might want to put that little feature in a web view. You know, you don't just want them to log in. Like, maybe, you know, you want to be able to pull up like some type of news feed and get them to interact with some of their friends, because the bot experience is kind of like a one-on-one. You don't really get that social experience with the bot. So for people who have audiences that they actually want to engage together, that's where the web view can come in handy. If you want to run, you know, webinars and stuff like that, it's a great opportunity for a web view. So for me, I just,
Let me pause you right there. So you're saying web view, like a webinar in a web view, so they can watch a webinar in the bot, or what?
Yeah.
Or just sign up.
Yep. Yeah. Watch it in the bot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it's all about lowering resistance and keeping everything on Facebook, which we all know, which is why Facebook made the web view in the first place.
Right.
You know, you don't want to send, you know, a lead or your audience off to some obscure website and take away from their experience, because chances are if you found them on Facebook, they were already doing something on Facebook. So keep them there, make them feel like they're not taking all these extra steps. And that's where I feel like web views will really, really unleash like a whole new power, is integrating those different platforms that you have them using and putting that in the web view with the bot. And then it's icing on the cake when you train your bot to be contextually aware. So like, let's say you're running an online course and the user is going through a course dashboard in a web view. Well, maybe when they complete like a module, a bot is like alerted by that and like sets an attribute. And then the bot automatically says, hey, Nick, like I saw you completed module number one. Was there anything you needed help with? And then being able to send that directly to the instructor is like huge. So I just challenge people to use web views for more than just like logins or like date picking features. you know, like go nuts with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Skip the Grindr feature, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my gosh.
But I don't know. Sal, what's your take on web views, man?
Yeah. Like Nick pretty much summed it up, but it's web views. I think it's very powerful and people are going to realize, oh, I could have been doing all this with web views, you know, once our product releases, and they're probably going to experiment their own things with it, with their bots, you know? But my advice to people was to make sure you're still in within Facebook's terms. Don't go too crazy with it.
But right. At the same time,
make sure that, you know, whatever your product is or what you got going on, make sure it's ethical and make sure people are really understanding it and you're not sending them to a million places. Now all they have to do is open up their phone and go on Messenger, you know?
Right. Yeah. And what I like about it, I mean, it's pushing the bounds of it. It's, you know, but while you're respecting the platform, you're also not being afraid of it, which is cool because, you know, sometimes I see comments or whatever. It's like, oh, you know, what if bot kind of goes the way, what if bots go the way of, like Meerkat and, what's that other one? That live streaming Meerkat and Periscope, you know, what if they just disappear or even Vine or whatever? And it's like, well, just freaking beat it up while you got it. Don't be afraid of it. Obviously respect the rules, but just freaking, I don't see chat bots or this sort of technology going away anytime soon. You know, just because of how much Facebook has invested in it and how much revenue that I'm sure they're generating from it now too. But, you know, I don't know if you guys can speak on that at all, but I say, you know, use it while you got it and see where it goes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. Like what Sal said, as long as you're within like Facebook's guidelines and you're not annoying the hell out of somebody, you should be pushing the limits with web views, because that's where you get to, you know, every marketer or entrepreneur or somebody has some type of ecosystem that goes beyond Facebook where they have their users interact. So if you can find a way to start bringing that back inside of Facebook and kind of having your own little portal in a web view that's, you know, by definition in Facebook, but technically portals out to any place you want it to, you know, that's where you have like unlimited potential.
Yeah, totally. I see a lot of coaches and people with online courses doing really well with that feature specifically. Cause some of the people in like ManyChat specifically, they want to put their courses. So they keep asking, it's like, why is ManyChat only letting me have 25 megabytes of video? It's like, well, it's more of a Facebook limitation than ManyChat. But
Well, I think that's where me and Sal are going to come in handy with like our blockchain.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, because we'll be able to give somebody like a full terabyte for like $10. So,
holy crap!
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's like, and that's huge.
Yes.
I mean, not just the size, but just the potential. You know.
Yeah, so if we can kind of help people with bots kind of have that like robust like back end where they can store, you know, databases that they can query, where they can store tons and tons of content and just be able to strategically link to that through a bot, we're hoping, you know, that, you know, helps them reach their audience better.
That's incredible, dude.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more, Sal, about your web development. I mean, you really skimmed over that, and that's cool. But give me a little bit more information about what you've done there, or what your experience is there, if you don't mind. Because I'm actually really curious about that. Because I mean, as much as I like to geek out about it, I know I'm still pretty much a novice on like the back end of things. So whenever I find somebody, I just want to kind of pick their brain a little bit about it.
Yeah, I've been, you know, like everybody else, I started with HTML and CSS, kept, you know, simple, building websites, and then I got more advanced as, you know, the years gone by, and been working with PHP, and then Node.js when it came out a few years ago, which I really love. That's pretty much what I work with, and also Python for certain things. But really, those are really the only three languages I try to stick with if I have to. I know there's a bunch of languages now that, you know, different companies want you to do. So, I was like, I don't even have time to learn all these languages every time I have to apply to a new tech job. So I just decided to freelance, stick with freelancing.
Nice. There you go. That way you can kind of stick to what you know and what you like. I like that.
Wait, Sal, so did you do something with MasterCard, right?
What?
Well, yeah,
Yeah, don't be shy, dude. hype it up. Don't be modest.
Yeah, I started working on a secret project, kind of like a new like payment system with blockchain. I was messing around with it, and I did show Nikki a little bit of it. And then I wanted to get more advanced with credit cards, blockchain credit cards, and, you know, so I hit up, I hit them up, and they told me I had to wait or something because they're going crazy right now, the developers over there, when I hit them up. So now I'm waiting to see if I should move on with this project or just call it dead.
Wow. Now, what would MasterCard do with blockchain technology? Because obviously that's a U.S. currency that they're primarily active in.
Yeah, but they brought their own blockchain, you know, so for people to mess around with, and that's what I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's going to – I feel like blockchain is going to change our world forever.
Yeah, kind of keeping the information a little bit more available, right?
Yeah.
Well, and data has just become so cheap. I mean, that's one thing that I love about it is, like, as technology evolves, I mean – you know, what used to be an expensive hard drive and you get, you know, 5 megabytes or something. It's like now, you know, it's not unreasonable to have a multi-terabyte cloud drive and, store a bunch of information there. It's like, it's a freaking golden age of technology right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, Nikki, I'm kind of curious, and we don't have too much time, but I wanted to get a little bit more into like the experiential marketing side of things, because you mentioned some things that kind of piqued my curiosity. What can you give me like an anecdote or something from your experience of like what that actually looks like and how somebody could apply it to bots?
For bots, like I'm still trying to find that framework and like translating it from like physical to digital. But like just quick anecdote, how I got into it was like one of those, you know, learn as you go, fake it till you make it things. But like I said, I, you know, in New York, I was inspired by live events. I was working in retail at Express. And at the time, Steph Curry, the NBA player became our brand ambassador. And I got nominated to host his launch party.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So while I was there, you know, I saw that there was this designer who was collaborating with Express on this event, and just kind of seeing what a big role they played in it and everything they brought to the table. One showed me that collaboration was like the future for, you know, brands and, you know, experiences. And two, that a small independent person can do a huge thing with a big brand. So that's what set me on my path to kind of doing something similar. And I'll just never forget that event and how inspiring that was to me and how fun it was. So I kind of wanted to share, you know, that same feeling with as many people as I could, which is what got me into experiential marketing. And the gratitude I felt for that designer, because like I interned with him a little bit too, because I thought he was just a genius. So the gratitude I felt for him was pretty much what started my agency. He's a designer, so he was doing a runway show, and I wanted to just add so much value to him. So I cold emailed Microsoft and, you know, told them about the designer and, you know, how we wanted to kind of collaborate together with them on like a tech experiential fashion event. And they ended up sponsoring his show. You know, invested I think about like 10K into it. And we did like a live stream at Microsoft store of the show. We did an Xbox lounge for all of like the celebrities that were attending the show. And I mean, that's what showed me what I was capable of. You know, I was not intimidated to reach out. Microsoft saw value in the event. The designer got some value from a big brand and everybody kind of benefited. And the event was, you know, nuts. It was so much fun. And that just led us onto a spiral. That designer brought us along to do media and campaigns with Madison Square Garden. So we did experiential events with the New York Knicks, the Rangers. We got invited to NBA All-Star Weekend. Yeah, right after that, we did NBA All-Star Weekend with Timberland. And this all happened within four months. That was our story for 4 months. And I was just like, what the hell are we doing? You know what I mean? Because I wasn't expecting all of that. But you know, the most difficult part about like experiential marketing is that, you know, with an experience, you don't get those like hard metrics and qualitative data that all the marketers look for, because it's a quality experience. You don't get the quantitative data. So for me, it's about trying to come up with a way to turn that quality into like a measurable, you know, metric.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love how you just freaking name dropped all those guys. pretty big names. Freaking awesome.
But that being said, it was not easy, you know, because there's a lot of pressure doing stuff for those big brands. Which is why I was like, you know what, if we want to continue to, you know, maintain our reputation and our integrity and be able to deliver the experiences that I want, I'm going to need a bigger team. I'm going to need better resources. And I had to just face the fact that at that time, I didn't have that. So I had to make the decision to just kind of scale back a little bit, which is why I stepped into the digital world. And I would rather just kind of like invest in myself, get better at that, so that eventually going forward, we can build a better production team and just kind of cover everything from digital to physical and in between.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I love it, dude. Okay. So tell me, I guess break down where people can find you guys if they're interested in learning more about you or following you. I mean, where are you guys at, online, and, how can people reach out to you?
Preferably Facebook. I will not answer an email. I mean, that's how much I feel about bots, is I'm ready to give up email.
Awesome. Okay. So Facebook, do you have a website as well, or just the Facebook, or what?
The website's under construction. So Facebook's the easiest place to get me.
No, that's totally fine. What about you, Sal?
The same thing. Cause, I don't answer my email. There's the point. I'm pretty sure they probably think I'm dead or something. So
yeah.
We're live on Facebook, though.
That's awesome.
I'm on Facebook, too. That's the best you can reach me. And Twitter, too.
Okay.
Mostly on Facebook. So.
Oh, and dude, for your audience, if anybody is interested in figuring out how to get that crazy amount of space that we were talking about, while we're in beta, we're definitely like hooking people up with, you know, as much as we can for next to nothing. You know, we want to build, you know, a support group before we start charging people anything. So if you've got anybody listening that needs some help with like server stuff, you know, space. We'll hook it up as much as we can.
I love it. And then I guess they just reach out to you on Facebook about that, huh?
Yep.
Perfect. Good, guys. Well, hey, I appreciate your time and love this interview. And I actually do look forward to having both of you guys back on my podcast again in the very, very near future.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.